So Father, I thank you for the privilege of bringing your word this morning. Father, I pray that you speak through me, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, Lord, that you would give us something fresh from you this morning. Father, I pray that you'd stir us up to do amazing things for you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have been reading Ruth the last couple of weeks. Which isn't one of my favourite books in the Bible. It really isn't. Mostly because when I was in youth groups and things, Ruth equaled how to get a husband. Anybody heard it like that? No. It's okay. Or how to be a good husband, I guess, would be the other alternative. So my message this morning is Ruth, hashtag relationship goals. But it's got nothing at all to do with getting a husband. So I'll scramble with minds. Bit of an overview because I don't want to read you the whole book, but Naomi and her husband, they moved to Moab because of famine. Or moved to Moab, and then there's a famine in Moab, and decide to move back. Elimelech, her husband, and the two boys, her sons, pass away. And it leaves three widows who are making their way back to Bethlehem. So Naomi and Orpah and Ruth, they're on their way back to Bethlehem, and Naomi's like, go back to Moab, go back, because you'd be better off there with your own people. And Orpah, we know, she says, no, we'll stay with you. And then with a bit more persuasion from Naomi, says, okay, you're right, I'm going home. And Ruth sticks in there. So she decides to carry on with Naomi. And it says in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 12, turn back, my daughters, go, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I'm too old to have a husband, I'll start that again. Turn back, my daughters, go, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have a hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they are grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So Ruth takes responsibility for herself, for her relationship with the Lord. She says that she could easily have said, Naomi, I'm going to go wherever you go and do whatever you want me to. But she said, no, your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you stay, that's where I'll stay. And in every single aspect, she's saying, this is me. I'm choosing to do this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we kind of coast through life, kind of living off somebody else's experience of God, or doing the same old, just because that's what everybody else is doing. But here, Ruth is taking a real responsibility to say, this is me. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And she can't be dissuaded from that. She's demonstrates a real commitment to stay with Naomi. She's saying, look, I'm going to be with you, and a real commitment to God. She's determined, she's tenacious, and she's not going to be put off. Despite Naomi going, there's nothing in this for you. There's no reason, no good reason for you to come with me. Your people are in Moab. Your family, your friends are in Moab. Why would you follow me? You know, sometimes I can identify with Ruth because I'm in a land that isn't my own. There's lots of people here who have come to the island even, who aren't from here originally. And sometimes it's a bit like, Why am I here on a rock in the middle of the ocean, away from family, friends, an old life? But when you know the Lord has planted you somewhere, even if there's no immediate sense of reward, even though there you can't see where you're going in the future, when you're where the Lord plants you, you know you're going to be blessed. And you can't be dissuaded from that. So she isn't going to have a second-hand experience of God. She isn't going to have a second-hand experience with the Lord, because she's saying, I'm responsible for me. And I am in this with everything. So she's committed despite there not being any guarantee of immediate or future benefit. And she makes a real, genuine covenant promise to be with Naomi for the long haul. We've been singing this morning about unity. Well, we've been speaking about unity. We've been singing about how God is for us. And it blesses me so much that we're in this for each other. It's not about me. It's not about one person and what they intend to do. It's about being there for each other and helping each other out. This morning when I was thinking about what I was going to speak, just before I left, Ephesians came into my head. And it says, wait till I find the scripture, which I did mark. In chapter 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above and through all and in you. And then it goes on to talk about the gifts and the various gifts given to the body. But starting to see, Ruth is like our church. We're a bit on the edge, we're a bit different from everybody else, maybe coming from a different angle. But we're for this land. We're for the people. We are for what God is doing here. You know, Ruth's name means friendship. And she commits to serving Naomi. She commits to serving a woman who is beaten down by life, who is dissuaded from God's goodness. But Ruth commits anyway. She says, I am for you. In verses 20 of Ruth chapter 1, it says, they get back to Bethlehem and Naomi says to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me. You know, Naomi is completely dissuaded from God's goodness. She can't see how good God is. He has good plans for her because of the circumstances. And Naomi changes her own name. She changes her name from Naomi, meaning pleasant, to Mara, meaning bitter. And you know, when we lose sight of who God is to us, we step out of our identity in him. So if we don't believe that God is good and that he has created us to be righteous, he has created us to be blessed, he has created us to be saved and healed, delivered, if we don't believe his love for us, then we will step out from under his protection. And instead of being healed, we'll expect and we'll see sickness. Instead of his goodness, we'll expect calamity. We'll expect and see the bad things around. We can look at the media and see over and over again wars and afflictions and all sorts going on. And if we are not convinced of God's goodness, we can be completely sidetracked by it all. We'll end up with this attitude that God's treating us badly. God is always good and he always does good. Mm-hmm. So when we change our stand, we will change our experience. Naomi is a picture of those who don't know how good God is, who don't understand that he is for them. And Ruth is a picture of those who know that God is good and that are committed to bringing people into experience of his goodness. Ruth is necessary for Naomi's deliverance. Naomi, she calls her children in the land of Moab, she calls them Mahlon and she calls them Chilion. And Mahlon means weak and sickly. And Chilion means failing or pining. So she's moved from Bethlehem, which was a place of God's blessing and security, to Moab, which was a place of idolatry. That was a place where the whole of the atmosphere was thick with worship of other idols. It was a culture that wasn't a part of God's perfect will for them. And she's affected by that culture. We need to know where we're planted. We need to know who we are. We need to know that we are seated in heavenly places. We need to know that the culture of the world isn't supposed to have any effect on us. We're here to bring kingdom culture. We're here to bring God's will. We're here to pray on earth as it is in heaven and to expect it. And you know, we are necessary for bringing that about for other people, to bring them into a place where they experience that. Ruth, when they move back to Bethlehem, she starts working in the fields and she just gets on with the work. She starts picking up all the, you know, the wee bits at the side of the fields, picking up what was allotted to the poor in the country. But she's doing what she can. She goes out, she goes into the fields, she picks up the grain, and every day faithfully she is working her backside off to make sure that her commitment to Naomi is true. It's a real commitment. She's working to prove that this is what she is about. And you know, there's things that we have committed to as a church that if we're involved with, if we're working with, God's favour is on that because it is a part of us serving. Ruth serves Naomi until Naomi is redeemed, until Naomi is bought back by Boaz, until the whole of the family situation is turned around. You know, we are called to serve people until they are redeemed. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, it says, I'll back up. In verses 8, it says, "You will listen to me, my daughter, will you not?" This is Boaz speaking to Ruth. "Do not go and glean in another field or go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, fell down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favour in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you have left your father, your mother and the land of your birth and have come to people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Boaz notices Ruth's faithfulness. Notices that she is determined to preserve a relationship with her mother-in-law, to bless and serve her people, notices that she faithfully gets on with whatever's at hand. And I believe that the Lord notices when we are being faithful, regardless of whether it's picking up the straggly bits around the edges or doing the little jobs that nobody else cares about, or just getting on with daily living, going from day to day with knowing that God is good, knowing that he wants to bless people, going around serving people. And the Lord will repay us for those things. And he repays us in the form of people coming to know Jesus. Years ago, I remember the Lord giving me this picture of us being like carrying a candle in the darkness. It's like dark everywhere, and you're holding this little candle. You can see about, 2 foot in front of you and around about you. It's lighting up this tiny little bit of your way. But a candle in the darkness can be seen from 3 miles away. So we think we've got this insignificant little job, this insignificant little walk with God. And in fact, people can see this from miles around. Our faithfulness, our commitment to walk with the Lord, our commitment to each other. And it's like that light. People can see it, and people are watching our walks. Even if we can't see where we're going to be in 5 years' time, 2 years' time, a week's time, or if we can't see the fruitfulness yet of what we're doing, people can see how diligently we are doing that work. And they're being blessed by it. I believe as a church we are instrumental in bringing this land into the fullness of what God has for it. We're instrumental in pushing forward and bringing people into the fullness of an experience of a good God who loves them so much. Whether that be the church or whether that be people who don't know Jesus yet. We're like one little part of that body. One little part of God's plan. But we are important to the whole church. And we need to get intentional. We need to get adamant in what we're doing. We can surf along on somebody else's expectations, or the vision of the church for this year, or we do the food bank because the food bank's there, or we come to church on a Sunday because that's what we do. We can surf along and not be committed, or be committed to a small extent, or we can say, no, I am for this. I am for Pastor Donnie. I am for this church. I am for the people. And we can take that same commitment and apply it to the church at large in the island. Like, I am here. We are here to serve the church. We are here as part of the body on these islands so that we can all come to a unity of the faith, so we can all come to a unity of the spirit. So this is about relationship goals. This is about serving each other. It's about giving ourselves to serve, to help each other, to bring people into that full experience. You know, when we turn up on a Sunday morning, we're a part. We're all here to play a part. And if there's 2 people, they're here to play a part. If there's 100 people, we're here to play a part. We need to come with the intention to bless and serve each other. We need to go into our workplaces with the intention to bless and serve people. We don't realise how much of an impact we have just by our faithfulness to the Lord. There's a scripture that says, do all things as unto the Lord. Every single thing. I wonder if we made that our focus, how different our work lives, our home lives, our whole life would look. if I was making dinner as unto the Lord. Does that mean the person who comes into the kitchen and complains about what you're cooking is going to be blessed by what you say in the next sentence? or do we forget we're not doing it to serve? Do we forget and think we're not doing it to serve? If we're serving, we're going to bless people. If we're not serving, we're going to hurt people. We're going to move into a place where we're distancing ourselves from people. Orpah, she decides to go back to her own people, to do it her own way, that she doesn't want to be a part of this relationship with Naomi anymore. Ruth says, I'm all in and I'm for you, despite whether or not I'm going to get a husband, despite whether or not we're going to move past this place. Because they were poor, they were living off the bits of the land that were, you know, the scrag ends, the little bits and pieces here and there. But despite that, Naomi carries on. Ruth carries on serving. In chapter 4 of Ruth, it says, in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than a son, seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Naomi's whole situation gets turned around just because of Ruth's faithfulness. Just because Ruth didn't give up. Just because Ruth got on with the work at hand. And God's favour was on her because of that commitment she made to serve to him, to the Lord, to make him part of her life, to Naomi to serve, even though she didn't have to. She had no reason why she would have to stay with Naomi. There was nothing on her to make her feel pressured into staying. It was a commitment she made. And the Lord brought about redemption. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you have placed us here to serve. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the places we can serve your church, where we can serve your people, where we can serve everyone we come into contact with, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with love for one another so that we can grow to that place of unity of the faith, unity of the spirit. Father, I thank you that you see our faithfulness, you see what we're doing, and you bless us for it. Father, I thank you for a nation that can be saved because of your people just faithfully going about the things that you've given them to do. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the redemption he brought about on the cross. I thank you that he paid the price for us. Lord, I thank you that you've brought us back, and Father, that you've paid the price for every single person. So Father, help us to introduce people to you. Help us to have that attitude of love, Lord, and Father, help us to make those commitments, to make those promises, and to stand by them, Lord. Thank you that you have given us that spirit that doesn't give up. Thank you, Lord, that you've given in us that expectancy to see you come through on every single promise. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.